Let us then turn in God's Word to John chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 26 of John 15, and we're going to read through verse 22 of chapter 16. As Jesus teaches on the purpose of His ascension and the promise of His ascension into heaven, Jesus again and again spent time talking about this, oftentimes in little snippets here and there. But we have to understand, and there aren't a lot of large passages that we can say, well, you know, here's a big preaching text on the ascension, but it's assumed everywhere in the New Testament. It's all over the place that we can see that He has ascended and the wonders of what that brings to us as human beings, as Christians. So, John chapter 15, beginning reading at verse 26 and reading through verse 22 of chapter 16. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor Me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to Him who sent Me, and none of you asks Me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, and therefore I said to you, He will take of Mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see Me. And again a little while, and you will see Me, because I go to the Father. Then some of His disciples said among themselves, 'What is this that He says to us? A little while, and you will not see Me, and again a little while, and you will see Me, because I go to the Father.' They said, 'Therefore, what is this that He says, a little while? We do not know what He is saying.' Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask Him, and He said to them, 'Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while, and you will not see Me, and again a little while, and you will see Me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore now, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you.'" Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this evening. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, why do we celebrate Ascension Day? If we look around us, not a whole lot of churches celebrate it anymore. You can't barely find a calendar with it on, can you? Ascension Day is the celebration of our Savior ascending on high. It is the celebration, as we have been singing from the section of what? in the hymnal? His exaltation. It is the celebration of the fact that our Savior has been exalted. That He has, having paid our debt, having given Himself even to the curse of the cross, having paid that penalty, has been exalted to the right hand of God the Father. That He has ascended on high, that He has led captivity captive, that He has completed the will of God concerning our redemption. As we consider Ascension Day, I wanted to take a few moments and read from the Catechism. What do you understand, question and answer 46, by the words He ascended into heaven? That Christ, in the sight of His disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven and continues there in our behalf until He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. That Christ was taken up from the earth. The Catechism says rightly, He is now not on earth according to His human nature, but according to His Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is at no time absent from us. Our Savior physically is in heaven. He is at no time absent from us according to the Spirit, but He is now, His physical nature is in heaven. And so we rejoice in the ascension of Christ into heaven. It tells us, it reminds us that we someday will have a glorified body like unto Christ, that we will be glorified, and that we will reside as well in the new heavens and the new earth, which He promises He will go and prepare a place for us. And so the theme that we want to see as we look at this passage of God's Word, our text is verses 5, 6, and 7 of John chapter 16. Our theme that we want to see is Christ is glorified in ascending into heaven for having completed the will of God in our salvation. Christ is glorified in ascending into heaven for having completed the will of God in our salvation. In verse 5, we look at the fact that He has ascended physically into heaven. In verse 6, Christ's kingdom is not of this earth. And in verse 7, Christ's glorification is for us as His people. So first of all, He ascended from earth. He was received into heaven. If we look at Acts chapter 1, we have the most full telling of Christ's ascension into heaven in the Bible. And He ascended into heaven. Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up in a cloud, received them out of their sight. Now if we think back, we've been reading in Exodus. That cloud symbolizes the glory of Almighty God. That cloud is taken straight out of Exodus. That Christ has ascended on high. If we think about the steps of Christ's exaltation, that He rose from the dead, that He ascended into heaven, that He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that He shall come again to judge all nations. He is seated at the right hand of God. He has ascended on high. He is now not on earth, as we have read in the Catechism. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, prays for the church. And He prays, saying, now I am no longer in this world, as He anticipates His crucifixion, His death, and His resurrection. He anticipates that He is and will no longer be in the world. He is not here. The Catechism is very clear and very correct in that. He is now not on earth according to his physical nature. John 7, verse 33, then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. Again and again and again, Jesus talks about his ascension into heaven throughout the time in which he was preaching and teaching to the disciples. He says again and again that there will be a time in which he is not with them. And yet, of course, he tells us that he is with us always, even to the ends of the age. Matthew 28, verse 20, as he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. As we talked about in the Catechism. He is at no time absent from us according to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. But he is physically in heaven. And so he is there to be worshipped. He is not to be worshipped here on the earth, somehow in the bread and wine of the communion or different things like that which people have come up with. No, he is to be worshipped in heaven, where he is seated, where he rules, where he reigns over his church and over the world. And so he has ascended from the earth. He is glorified in ascending into heaven. His kingdom is not of this earth. Verse 6, we read, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Christ's leaving brought sorrow to the disciples. And often, I think, in the modern church, when we don't understand what's going on here, we could say, we could think, well, wouldn't it be better to have Jesus here? Grossman is okay, but we could have Jesus preach, right? Jesus says no. The disciples thought that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. Reading in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Even at the time of Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples were thinking, okay, now is the time for this earthly kingdom to start. And we have to understand that as well. Christ's kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. Christ's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. It is the eternal kingdom. And so we ought not look for it in a nation. We ought to seek to build a kingdom, to build the kingdom of our Savior across national lines. It doesn't matter what nation we are of. What matters is that we are citizens of God's eternal kingdom. Christ is reigning. We will see that in a few moments here as we continue. But he is not an earthly king. He is on high. He reigns from heaven. Remember, we've talked about this in recent weeks and months, that the people thought he was going to set up a kingdom when he fed the 5,000. Again, the 4,000. Jesus says, you didn't follow me because you knew what I was signing and sealing in these miracles. They followed because they had full stomachs. Now, what we look for and what Jesus brings is not a physical wealth, is not a kingdom of full stomachs. It is a glorious kingdom, an eternal kingdom of eternal glory. And so we need to make sure that we don't get the physical confused. And the disciples sorrowed. Jesus is ruler over all. Their idea was an earthly kingdom. We could perhaps sorrow because we say, well, he's not here. But what does Jesus say? It's better if I leave. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And we'll get to look at that in a few moments. It's to our advantage that Jesus is in heaven. Christ is the eternal ruler of all. Reading from Ephesians 1, 20 through 22, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Notice what the cry is in Revelation, not at the end of Revelation, but in the middle of Revelation, when Jesus has won the victory over Satan. It says, all authority has been given in heaven and on earth to Christ, that he has won. Christ has won the victory. He is not waiting to have everything handed to him. As we read in Matthew chapter 28, he says very clearly as he ascends into heaven, at that point, all authority. The kingdoms of our Lord have become the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Handel had that correct. That's not at the end of the Messiah. That's when Jesus comes to this world. And Jesus' ascension into heaven. And so we rejoice that Christ is reigning. He shall rule till he has put all his enemies under his feet. Reading from Hebrews 2 verses 8 and 9. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He was made a little lower than the angels. Now he has received glory and honor. By the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He tasted death. And having done that in our place, the death of judgment, we receive the promise and the certainty of eternal life. So his kingdom is not of this earth. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. If we hearken back to Daniel, Daniel talks about that kingdom which shall reign forever and ever, a stone cut without hands that filled heaven and earth. The kingdoms of this world were destroyed before it. And so we need to understand that Christ is reigning, and he is reigning for his people. He is reigning and overthrowing all of the works of Satan, as we talk about in the Catechism, and that we join him in reigning as Christians. We have that office of prophet, priest, and king. And as king, the Catechism so rightly says that we may in this world fight against sin and the devil, and hereafter in eternity reign with him over all creatures. And so we come to our third, to verse 7, that his glorification is for his people. He has ascended into heaven. He has completed the will of God concerning our redemption, our salvation. And as we said, he sends his Spirit. Reading verses 8 through 11 in what we've read previously. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, continuing there, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. There's so much there on what the Holy Spirit does. Notice what the Spirit does. He does not speak on his own authority. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take of what is Jesus. The Spirit doesn't spend his time pointing to himself. The Spirit points to Christ and to God the Father. He will send the Spirit. He will send the Comforter. And we will need comfort. We need comfort in this world. This world is a world that is full of sin, full of hardship, full of trials. We need comfort in this world. And Jesus said, "It is better that I go, then I will send the Comforter." And he is in heaven interceding for us. Reading from Hebrews 7, verse 25, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus intercedes. He is the perfect mediator. The Catechism rightly pulls from here and from other places throughout Hebrews and from Genesis. He is the perfect mediator because he is true God and true man. And so he can intercede before God the Father with his sacrifice in our behalf. And he is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so we have Christ, our flesh, in heaven. We're told that he is building us mansions in heaven back a couple of chapters in John 14, verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." There are so many places throughout the New Testament that talk about that. I'm just pulling out really a few from here and there. But our Savior is in heaven preparing a place for you and for I. You know, I think about some of the gospel music and stuff, and oftentimes it gets a little twisted up in its facts. But we are citizens of heaven. The bare fact. So often we think of ourselves as beleaguered in this world. We get our eyes stuck on the trials, the hardships. Brothers and sisters, our Savior has already paid for our place in heaven. He's preparing it for us. And we have that place in heaven prepared for us by our Savior. And we can rejoice if we remember the golden chain of our salvation from Romans chapter 8. "Those whom he predestined, these he called. Those he called, these he also justified. Those he justified, these he also," what? "Glorified." The word there is not future. The word there is past tense. It's paid. It's done. And so through Jesus Christ, we have a mansion in heaven beyond anything we could ever imagine on this world. And Christ is there, as we've said, preparing a place, that place for us. And he's there in heaven equipping us for service. Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 12, I consider preaching on this for this evening. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have this promise that Jesus ascended on high. Why? That he would give gifts to men. He gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. The different gifts which God gives, and that's not an exhaustive list of those gifts, are for what? Those are works of ministry, right? Not what Paul says here. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." What Jesus gives us through those who are in offices within the church evangelists, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers are for the equipping of all of the church, every one of us, for the work of ministry to one another. So often we think, well, minister, that's that guy that stands up front. All of us have that office to minister to one another in our needs, to use the gifts which God has given to us. As I said, that list is the list of those who have office of authority within the church under Christ. But each one of us has abilities and gifts and a place to use. And sometimes that's just prayer. I shouldn't say just. You know, one of the minister's wives, her husband had passed away. She was sitting in the nursing home, couldn't do anything. And she said, you know, I've learned to pray. So often we think a prayer is just something quick tossed off before dinner or something like that. But there are so many gifts which God gives us to minister to one another within the congregation. And one of those is to pray. To pray for God's people, to pray for the ministers of God's church, to pray for His Word to be going forth, so many other things. But God, Christ, says that His glorification is for you and me, as we read at the beginning. That what? That He continues there in our behalf. He is in heaven on our behalf. And so Christ is ascended into heaven for having completed the will of God concerning our salvation. Christ is glorified. Christ has completed that work. We have a perfect Savior. There is nothing more that we need add to Him. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, I love these two words, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jumping back a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, now this is the main point of the things which you are saying. The writer of the Hebrews says, this is the main point. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And so often, as I said, Ascension Day gets forgotten. But brothers and sisters, this is not a day to be forgotten. This is a day of rejoicing in our Savior, in the glory of our God, in the glory of our Savior, that He has completed fully our salvation, and that we rejoice in what He continues to do for us each and every day as we look forward to joining Him in heaven, where He is already preparing a place for us. Amen. Let us bow then before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that our Savior gave Himself, that He gave Himself on the cross, that He took the curse which lay upon us. We thank You that He spent time on this earth after His resurrection to teach, to show the disciples who He was, and that they got to see His glorified body, and that we have revelation of that throughout His time, those 40 days on this earth. And we rejoice, O Lord, in Your ascension into heaven, that You are seated, glorified, at the right hand of God the Father, and that all principalities and powers have been made subject unto You. We pray, O Lord, that we would rightly rejoice in the ascension of our Savior, that we would give our Savior the glory that is due to Him for the complete salvation which He has bought on our behalf. even as we look forward to joining him in the new heavens and the new earth, which he has prepared, which he has bought for us. We pray, O Lord, all of this in the name of our Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.